Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Wall Street Rascal by Megan Wade. Narrated by Stephanie Wiles and Wayne Mitchell. Nina. Taking a long pull of my almost warm beer, I set it back on the bar, then push it away with a sigh. This whole drinks after work thing used to be a heck of a lot more fun when I had someone to drink with. Not that I'm upset with Becca for coupling up with her boss, Ronan Kennedy, a glorious specimen of a man who was previously known as the Jerk of Wall Street. I could never be upset over that. Seeing my best friend happy and Ronan smiling instead of growling has been beyond pleasurable to witness. I'm ecstatic for both of them. But I'm kinda lonely now. I wish I got along with the other admin girls as well as I got along with Becca. She was always my rock at Pierce Goodman, the wealth management company on Wall Street where I work. And while she wasn't much of a party girl, she would at least come out with me to eat or just grab a drink and chat. I miss those days. And now that she's working somewhere else, studying while also planning her wedding, I miss her even more. Scraping my fingertips along the bottom of the wooden bowl at my side, I take out the last of my tortilla chips and dunk them into some salsa, popping the soggy crumbs in my mouth before I chew thoughtfully. I think it's time. Time for what? The imaginary audience I'm talking to asks. Well, a few months back, I overheard a couple of women on the subway talking excitedly about an exclusive dating club called Blind Trust. Not a dating agency, not a sex club, but something in between. I Googled the name the moment I heard it to learn that this place charges a pretty steep fee to match people up based on their bedroom desires, as well as their looks and personalities. And the really cool slash exciting slash nerve-wracking thing they do is get you to date backward, too. You start with intimacy and work your way toward meeting each other for a sit-down date. Now, I know you have questions, imaginary friend. Believe me, I did too. During the weeks I've known about the existence of this club, I've read through their facts several times and even stalked the subreddit talking about people's experience there. The way it works is all in the name, Blind Trust. Your first encounter is in darkness and silence, so all you have to guide you is touch. Slowly, if both parties agree, you introduce all of the senses until finally all is revealed, and you can start getting to know each other without the pressure of sex impacting your behavior. You already know you're sexually compatible, or you wouldn't have gotten that far. I admit, it sounds like the perfect place for people to go and have anonymous, no-strings sex. That was my first thought, too. But it's not like that at all. Each client is fully vetted, undergoes a psych evaluation, and detailed likes and dislikes questioning before they'll even think about pairing you up. Their goal is to find serious matches for busy people who are tired of New York's revolving door dating scene. And since I haven't had a first date lead to a second date for 2 years now, I'm exhausted. And I'm ready to try something else, no matter how out there it may seem.
Can I buy you a refill?
A dark-haired man with a bright, dimpled grin and lust in his eyes moves in beside me and gestures to my almost-finished beer. I glance up at him, but his gaze is firmly on my oversized chest. No thanks, I say, dragging my bottle in a little closer to my body and angling away from him.
Waiting for someone?
I was. My boyfriend got caught up at work, I lie. Knowing guys who don't take the first no tend to need the mention of another man to get the hint.
Boyfriend, huh?
He grins and leans in, his fingers brushing my blonde curls off my shoulders.
You know it doesn't count until he puts a ring on it.
It counts as far as I'm concerned. Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to leave. Giving me a long, assessing look, he seems like he's about to dig in his heels before the bartender, Eve, a woman not much older than me, but covered in tattoos and piercings compared to my straight-laced appearance, approaches and asks if I need anything. Just to finish my beer, then go home alone. Do I need to wave security over to achieve that goal, sir? Or will you walk away and leave this young woman to occupy space in the way she chooses? Eve lifts her brow, her green eyes piercing behind her smoky eye makeup, as she glares at the guy like she wouldn't even need security given half the chance. The guy doesn't give a response. He just glances away, looking bored as he sucks his teeth, then pushes off the bar, muttering something negative about women as he disappears into the crowd. No doubt looking for his next victim. You need an escort home? You just sing out, Eve says once he's gone. You know security is more than happy to look out for anyone who needs it. Thanks, Eve. I should be fine with the usual cab, though, I say, giving her a smile as I finish off my drink and stand from my chair. While the free chips and salsa are great, the security policy is the exact reason I frequent the Endearing Badger Bar more than any other place in New York City. I've had enough sleazy, won't-take-no-for-an-answer assholes coming onto me over the years to be more than fed up with it. In fact, I'm almost at a point where I'm about to give up on men altogether. The things they say about New York are more than true. Too many available women, and not enough relationship-seeking men. After saying my goodbyes to Eve, I head into the cool night air, a security guard hailing a cab for me and making sure I'm tucked in nice and safe before waving me off. And as the cab spirits me through the night toward my apartment building, I find myself pulling my cell from my bag, my fingers scrolling through the already filled out application for blind trust. I haven't had the courage to send it in yet, but after yet another disappointing night out on my own, what have I got to lose? Submit. Nina. Hey, bestie. Long time no talk, Becca says cheerfully, her voice filling my bathroom via speakerphone, while I take an extraordinary amount of time straightening out the natural curls in my hair. Please tell me you have time for wine and cheesy rom-coms tonight. Wincing slightly when I almost burn my finger, I shake it off and set my straightening iron aside. Gosh, Beck, I'd love to hang with you, but I'm actually just getting ready to head out. Can we maybe do it tomorrow night instead? I promised Ronan I'd keep Saturday for him. I've been burning the candle at both ends lately, trying to fit in work and finish off my assignments. And that means I've severely neglected everyone I love and care about. Oh, honey, you don't have to feel bad about that. Anyone who gives a damn would never hold that against you. Thank you. I appreciate you saying that. I honestly feel like I'm drowning right now. Ronan keeps telling me to put in less hours at the office and let him support me. But I don't know. I can't leave him and Scott to deal with all that work on their own. Maybe it's time to hire another analyst to help? Maybe. There's just so much to organize all the time. Okay, I'll let you go, and we'll tee something up for next week, maybe. Sounds perfect. Get some rest. I will. And, oh, I haven't asked you where you're going. I'm just going out to drinks with a, guy I met at... I look around frantically and try to think of a plausible story to tell. When I was first thinking about contacting Blind Trust, I confided in Becca about my idea. While she was as supportive as a best friend can be, I still detected a note of concern in her reaction, like she thought I was thinking of doing something scary and dangerous. After going through the selection process and feeling confident that Blind Trust really does guarantee my safety, I felt comfortable keeping my plans to myself once my match came through. I know using a dating service and agreeing to intimacy before properly meeting someone is a wild concept, but I feel genuinely excited and hopeful about tonight. I just don't want anyone else bursting my bubble, no matter how well-meaning they are. My eyes fall on the leafy plant in the corner of the room. "The nursery," I finish. "A guy with a green thumb, hey? That sounds promising." "It's just drinks." I feel the heat rise in my cheeks as I rake my fingers through my hair and take a good look at myself in the mirror. I've put on the sexiest set of lingerie I own, along with a black dress that hugs my curves and accentuates my bust. On top of that, I've done my makeup to perfection. Winged liner around my hazel eyes and sexy red lips. And ironed my hair so straight that the blonde locks now fall to my mid-back. It's not lost on me how fruitless all of this effort is, since the man I'm meeting tonight won't see more than a shadowy outline of my body. But there's something about going through this first date ritual of primping and preening that calms my nerves. I mean, I'm going to a club for the sole purpose of having sex with a stranger that I may or may not want to date later. I'm nervous as fuck. "Drinks can turn into something," she says with a coy sound to her voice that gives me images of her waggling her brows on the other end. "Well, they won't turn into a thing if I'm late. We'll talk soon, okay?" "Okay, have fun tonight." When we disconnect, I make sure my straightener is switched off, then take one last look at myself and blow out a tense breath. "You're the one in control," I say to my reflection, before giving myself a curt nod and heading for the door. I think that was the tipping point for me when I interviewed at Blind Trust. They made it very clear to me that nothing would happen between my date and me if I didn't want it to. While our first date is all about feeling each other out, we will have enough of our other senses available to be able to communicate when needed. And security is always on standby just in case someone oversteps. Something my consultant assured me has never happened before. They're incredibly thorough during their vetting process. Something I knew all too well. Along with their steep fee comes a barrage of psychological evaluations, health tests, and background checks that are on top of the usual personality, likes, and dislikes they gather. By the time I was cleared and told they'd contact me when a match became available, I already felt as though I was intimately acquainted with most of their staff. Getting that match, though, that was a surprise. I'd thought it would take weeks, even months. But they came back with a 93% match within 24 hours. I accepted before I even had a chance to let the news sink in, because I knew that if I thought about it too much, I'd wait. And maybe the next match wouldn't be quite as compatible. And what if this 93% guy truly is my soulmate, and I just went and passed him over to some other girl because of nerves? No way. I replied yes as fast as I could, deciding to worry and overthink it later. Which is, of course, what I've been doing every day since. And now, getting into the car they sent to pick me up, my heart is hammering out of my chest, and I'm fairly sure my makeup is melting off my face. Thank God this date is going to be in the dark, because at this rate, my face is going to look like Marge in that Simpsons episode where Homer invents the makeup gun and accidentally sets it to whore.
"Here we are, miss,"
the driver says, pulling up to the private female client entry to the club. Glued to my seat, I blow out a steadying breath and just stare out the window to the doorway. "Does everyone freak out their first time here?" I ask, meeting his eyes in the rearview mirror.
"It's a mixed bag, but there's definitely more nerves than boldness. Just remember, if at any time you want to leave, I'll be right here, ready to take you home. No questions asked. Blind Trust aims to be a safe place."
You know, I have a friend who runs a bar focused on that. It's called the Endearing Badger.
I hope that's exactly what it is.
Oh, it is. It's my experience there that made me feel better about trying out Blind Trust.
Well, I'll pass that compliment on to management. I hope you have a pleasurable experience.
Oh, gosh, I say, suddenly giggling like I didn't even consider that part. But really, it's the whole point, and why I shaved every single hair off my body. Me too. Wish me luck.
You won't need it. These matches are the real deal.
And with one final intake of breath, I nod to the concierge who's waiting to open my door. Then I place my foot on the pavement. Time to take one giant leap of faith, to blindly trust, and hope it leads to my happily ever after. Nina. The staff here at Blind Trust completely understand how nerve-wracking the first experience can be for new clients, no matter how much coaching you've received. The woman who greets me when I arrive is the same one I conducted my interview with. Jenna is model tall and also model thin and pretty. On top of that, she's lovely and soft-spoken, and has the kind of demeanor that puts me instantly at ease. I do wonder, though, if the man I'm to meet is sitting in another room with an equally beautiful woman to talk him through the experience. If so, then his expectations of me, a short, somewhat chunky blonde with freckles on my skin and hips that could bear triplets, might be a little skewed. If there is any point in the evening where you feel unsafe or simply uncomfortable, you can end your session by uttering your safe word. Our AI software will pick it up and alert staff. There won't be any humans listening in for the sake of your privacy. However, there will be security posted outside, just in case they're needed. But maybe model pretty isn't what the guy I'm meeting is after. Blind Trust has a ridiculously high success rate, which is how they justify their outrageous pricing. So they obviously know what they're doing. During the interview process, I was shown a multitude of pictures of men in different stages of dress, style, and looks, and asked to pick out what I found attractive and why. I'm assuming they did the same with him, so if they've matched us, it means he ticked the plus-size box on his preference list. A little extra meat isn't going to have him calling out octopus, or whatever his safe word happens to be. This is a low sensory experience. You'll have your ability to touch and smell unhindered, but your sight and sound, our two most judgmental senses, will be muted. Due to the nature of your activities, it's important you have some ability to communicate. When you go into the room, you'll find a blindfold and earplugs. The blindfold is made of a cross-hatched fabric that will allow you to make out shapes in the dimly lit room. But even when your eyes adjust to the darkness, you won't be able to see your partner's features. As for the earplugs, they merely muffle or distort sound. Speaking to each other this first time is discouraged. We're focused on feeling each other out this first time. Intimacy is encouraged, but only if both parties consent. Do most people get, intimate their first time? I ask, trying to sound normal, but coming across as an awkward teenager who's never even been kissed. A slow grin curves her pink lips. Most do. Yes, I think there's something very freeing about meeting a stranger in the darkness, exploring each other by touch. She pauses and takes a deep breath, making me think she's speaking from personal experience. Her reaction puts me even further at ease, excites me even. It's been a long time since I've gotten intimate with a man. And while coming to a place like this seems risky and foolhardy, it also feels exciting and filled with possibility. Like I'm the heroine of one of my romance novels, entering into an arranged marriage, or being matched up in a marriage auction. It's silly to think of any of these things happening in real life, I know. But what if? What if I do this, and it leads directly to my own fairy tale, happily ever after? A girl's got to try, right? Okay, I think I'm ready, I say, my nod confident, as I place my half-drunk champagne glass on the small side table, pushing up to my feet and straightening my dress. Is it silly I got so dressed up for a date in the dark? Not at all, she says, standing with me. It's about feeling sexy, am I right? Yeah, that's how I saw it. With a kind smile, she leads me through a doorway into a quiet hall. There are sconces along the wall with flickering lights no brighter than a candle, casting a gentle glow along our path. In fully lit view, I'd guess that the carpet is a vibrant magenta and the walls a light purple. But in this shadowy view, I see plum underfoot and lavender on the walls. The door we stop at is dark pink. And when she pushes it open, I step into a room decorated with neutral, earthy tones. I'll be listening in, just until you get yourself situated, she informs me, as she gestures for me to step inside. When you have your blindfold and earplugs in place and feel ready to begin, let me know, and I'll dim the lights and unlock the blue door. She points to the door on the opposite side to where I entered. What about when we're, finished? I ask. She smiles. There's a small light next to each door. When you're ready to leave, move toward the pink one and touch it. It'll unlock the door, and security will escort you back to the dressing rooms so you can get cleaned up and collect your things. I'll also be available if you need to debrief. Otherwise, we'll talk in the coming days. Okay, I say, smoothing my hands down my sides again. I'm ready. As she retreats from the room and I'm alone, I glance at the king-sized bed in the center of the room, the blindfold and box of earplugs sitting neatly in the center. This is nuts. Moving to the bed, I reach out and pick up the soft fabric of the blindfold and run it through my fingers. I honestly can't believe I'm doing this. But here I am, standing in a private room at a dating club, getting ready to have sex with a total stranger. I'm nervous, but I'd be lying if I said I also wasn't turned on by it. I don't think it's the anonymity that's getting me going. It's more the possibility of magic that has butterflies in my belly and an aching in my core. There's a chance I'm about to meet my one. And you can call me naive or soft-hearted, but I genuinely believe there's a perfect match out there for everyone. And I believe I'll know them when I see them. In this case, I'll know when I feel them. The prospect of finding something precious in the unconventional has me positively quivering. I lift the blindfold and wrap it around my eyes, noticing the way it alters my vision, even with the lights up. After securing it behind my head, I kick off my shoes and climb onto the bed, tucking my earplugs into my ears before I test out what I imagine might be alluring positions to wait on the bed in. But then I realize he won't know what position I'm in, since he won't be able to see either. So I just end up sitting in the center, facing the blue door. Up until this moment, I felt in complete control. But as I stare at the fuzzy outline of the door, my heart pounding in my ears, I'm plagued by the many doubts I've pushed to the back of my mind since I started this whole process. I panic. "Octopus! Octopus!" I gasp, shoving the blindfold up to my forehead and pulling the earplugs from my ears. Immediately, the pink door opens and security steps in, with Jenna on his heels. "Nina, are you okay?" she asks, concern on her features and an understanding in her tone that breaks through to me and has me taking deep, calm, cleansing breaths. "I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm sorry. I just had a moment." I take both of her hands when she offers them, and I breathe with her. "We can postpone until you feel more ready," she promises, but I shake my head. "I don't want to postpone. I want to do this. I'm really nervous." I smile up at her. But knowing security acts so fast just gave me the gift of peace of mind. "I'm glad. Just remember, you're in control. This only goes as far as you're comfortable with, and it ends when you say so." "Okay. Okay. I want this. I want to meet the man you chose for me." Her grin grows wider. "I really think you're going to like him, Nina. I wouldn't have matched you with anything less than perfect." 93% perfect. She laughs. 100% doesn't exist. 93 is special. "You'll see," she says, slowly releasing me and moving with security toward the door. "Let me know when you're ready to meet him." I pull my blindfold back in place and pop the earplugs into my ears, the muffling of sound and sight wrapping my mind like a soft blanket. "I'm ready now," I say, and she gives me a nod before they step into the hall, and suddenly I'm plunged into almost blackness. It takes a moment or two for my eyes to adjust, a sliver of lighting glowing from the floor along the edges of the room. I can't make out much, but I can see the edge of the bed. And when the blue door opens, I see a glow spilling in behind a broad, masculine figure. My heart stops. What on earth have I gotten myself into?
Him.
"Holy shit! You're huge!"
The words reach my ears clear as bell, which can only mean one of two things. Either my earplugs were faulty, or this woman is yelling. After testing the fit of said earplugs, I'm voting for the latter.
"I'm sorry, that probably came out sounding rude, but it's just an observation. Your silhouette takes up the whole doorframe."
A smile tugs at the side of my mouth as I approach the bed. We're not supposed to be talking during this first meeting, but I'm guessing my prospective mate has a habit of talking when she's nervous. I'll have to take my time and help her relax, something I'm more than willing to do. "Not that big," I say back, only to get an even louder, "What?" All I can see is the outline of her sitting in the center of the big bed.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?